David here. This one's going to be informal, chatty. A day in the life of a London Walks guide. But not an ordinary day. Today's August 1st, 2020, and it's the first day of our comeback. We basically suspended operations with the public walks back in mid-March. And today, we came back, first day since then, and really running quite a few walking tours. I mean, normally in the summer, on a Saturday, we do, plus the out-of-town trip, something like 22 walks. Well, today, we did 12, and that's really a lot. We almost had more walks on than we had customers. Andy's disastrous London this afternoon. I think he had 13 people, and I think there were probably 8 or 9 on the Jack the Ripper walk, but there were lots of them that had 2 or 3. Peter took one on Marylebone, and there were a lot of us, myself included, who turned up for our walk, and there was nobody to take round. I was doing the Kensington walk, and no one there. But you know something, while I was waiting, I looked in that little Japanese fast food restaurant, and they had 4 staff in there and 1 customer. So that's all in keeping with the situation, with what's going on. I think this time, in so many ways, it's a first, and it's unique. I mean, the person who went around on the Marylebone tour with Peter effectively had a private tour for a tenner, or maybe 15, as it were. Simon did a private walk, a tour of the Tower of London a couple of days ago for a grandfather and 4 grandkids. And there was no one in there. They practically had it to themselves. I mean, normally at the end you turn them loose and they all go to see the crown jewels. The guide can't go in there. The guide can't guide the queue goes on and on forever, and you stand there for a long, long time, and you get all of about 1.8 seconds directly before the crown jewels. But there were so few people that it took no time at all to get to see them. And he said that some of the people were going through 3 and 4 times, so they got to spend a lot of time directly in front of the crown jewels, taking a really good look at them. Now, the fact that I had nobody on the tour didn't bother me in the least. Well, it bothered me for London Walks. I mean, this has really been brutal for London Walks. We're hemorrhaging red ink. There's just no question about that. But there was no one. I was in Kensington. I love Kensington. I chatted with my friends, Bill in Orlando, and Chris, and Neil, a pal from Kenya, was there, caught up with him, found out that he had a heart attack in Kenya, was very lucky. The cardiologist had been out sailing and had just come ashore, and he's now fine now, so that's great. And then, you know, I did what I do. I went out and I walked those streets. I meandered. I explored. I went down my favorite tiny street in Kensington. I was lucky enough to meet up with a local, and I got 3 or 4 really fascinating little tidbits from him. He said that they believe that those houses were built to house some of the gardeners at Kensington Gardens. I didn't know that. I now know a great deal more about the actual size of those houses, 3 bedrooms, he said. And I found out that on the right-hand side, it's cul-de-sac, on the right-hand side going down, directly underneath those houses is the underground. and that they can actually hear it a little bit, and they feel it in their house when a train goes through. So that was all fun. And then sometimes this kind of thing, you just are exploring. You're seeing that there's something you missed before or in the past. Now I've guided that walk for nearly 40 years, but I'm still discovering it. And sure enough, there was a street that we walk up, and I thought, I wonder what happens if you walk up on the other side. And sure enough, that's the side we need to be walking up on. You get a better view of something that's interesting, something that we couldn't see from the other side. This happens a lot. Most dramatically, in my case, there's a tiny little lane in Hampstead. And if you walk along one side of it, you can't see anything because you got this 8-foot wall. You cross over to the other side, and one of the most astonishing sights in Kensington, or in Hampstead, comes to view. So it really makes a huge difference. I was very influenced by that account of that famous photograph from the Vietnam War, the one internationally famous of the little girl running down the road toward the photographer. They've been napalmed, and when I read about it, when I read what the photographer had to say, he said he'd snapped away, and then on the spur of the moment, he got down onto his knees and took one last shot. And as it turns out, that was a shot that was infinitely better than the others. And it was a matter of 30 inches, but it got it down. The camera was at the child's eye level, and suddenly the emotional perspective changed. It was just supercharged. And so this is the kind of thing you do. I suppose in a sense you are kind of an artist or a photographer. You're just looking all the time for, is there a slightly better position to be in? Can you see better from here, from there, etc.? So that was fun. And then I hopped on the number 9 bus to go to the West End, to go to Trafalgar Square. Now look, I live in West Hampstead. That's very central. But I have not been, before today, I had not been in Trafalgar Square since mid-March. And, normally I'm there really every day. I can remember, in these months, being in touch with London walkers, all over the world, in Florida and Australia, and etc. And, I suddenly realized, well, for all that I'm getting to take advantage of and be in central London, I might as well be in Wyoming or in Australia or in Thailand. It's really very much in the same boat with all those London, those lovers of London who are on the other side of the world. Well, living in West Hampstead, it felt like I might as well have been on the other side of the world for all that I was getting into the West End. But today I did it for the first time. And, it was tears of joy. I was weeping inwardly. The tears were inward. But it was wonderful going in there. Moving as well, there were lots of places that were closed. I went past places, there were queues outside, and people would ask, can we come in? And the person on the door would say, no, we do takeaway food, but you can't come in and sit down. I went to St. Martin in the Fields, of course, the Cafe in the Crypt, and I'm afraid it's still closed. Happy to bump into Ladka. Who's a friend, really. She works there. She's worked there for a long time, 20 years or more. She's from the Czech Republic. And Stan, as well, bumped into him. He's actually a Londoner. He's a Cockney, a black chap who was... He was actually born in Battersea. And, the three of us chatted. And I suddenly realized, well, this is a real London moment. What have we got here? We've got a woman from the Czech Republic, and we've got a Londoner, and we've got an American. That's London. It's all, you know, so cosmopolitan. We're from all over the world, but we're also all three of us Londoners, and that was just really enjoyable to catch up with them. I was sad to hear that the Cafe in the Crypt is, well, it's having a bad time. They're still closed. But happily, they have opened for the last 2 or 3 years. They've had in the summer, kind of behind the church, the eastern end of the church, there's, you know, a little outdoor coffee area. You can get buns and things like that. And then it's... you know, they're going. Ledka said they had just opened, and I was just delighted to find that out. So, you know, that's a good place, and they're good people. And so, you know, if you do get into central London, you know, for heaven's sakes, I hope you'll, you know, take your business there to them rather than to Pret a Manger or one of the chains, et cetera, et cetera. And then I walked and walked and walked. I just wanted to be out in London. Made my way really through Soho, and on over to Regent Street. Eventually, I caught the 139. And again, noticed some stuff that interested me. Some of the stuff, you know, all in favor. I think it's Old Compton Street. That's been pedestrianized. And that's rather nice now. So it's you know, people are don't have to confine themselves to the pavements, the sidewalks. Use the American parlance; they're in the street as well. And something that caught my eye. Now, look, this is the first time I've noticed this, and my impression is that this is new. But you know, chances are this might have been the case for 2 or 3 years. But I suddenly noticed that the new taxis, the black London cabs. It turns out they have, turned the headlamps into turn signal indicators. A cab was making a left turn, and sure enough, the left headlamp came on. Well, part of it came on. There's like an outer ring, and of the lamp, and it's got that wonderful butterscotch gold orange color. You know, it's the color of their for hire sign. And if they're turning, that outer ring of that headlamp comes on, and sure enough, it flashes, it flickers. And I don't know, it's just satisfying, really. I mean, somebody thought of that. It's nice design. It's very, very London, very, very, very pleasing. So, yeah, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, the creativity of this place, it's still going on. Anyway, well, that's my report from the front line today. It's a day at a time. We'll see how tomorrow goes. Thanks a lot. Yeah, bye.